Chapter 14. There's a weird clanking in the engine compartment. With no way for me to know if this is normal, there doesn't seem to be anything normal about this vehicle. I just try to block out the sound and focus on the infinite fields of wheat, while Jane drives for never-ending hours and night turns to day. It is beautiful, as she says, the mainland. Amber waves of grain, purple mountain majesties. All true. Clank, clank, clank. Even Phil City 3 is impressive. We passed it on the western edge of Kansas. A castle in the middle of nowhere. A grand medieval fortress with a continuous stream of rigs going in and coming out, like an army to battle, and several huge pipelines leading off into infinity. The Gitanos have 13 private cities around the world, and there is always talk of expansion. How many gargantuan landfill refineries do we need? Clank, 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 clank. Uh-oh. That last one sounded different. Something's not right. I look over to the driver's seat to see if Jane seems concerned. Her eyelids are closed and her head is bobbing. Jane! She starts and swerves back into our lane. What? What the hell is that clanking? This is your car, you tell me. If it's not too much trouble interrupting your nap. She manages to control the car as it protests and threatens to explode, stopping on the shoulder where, I assume, it dies permanently. She frowns. See? You thought we had plenty of time. Stuff happens, Pepper. It's paper. Nope. It's Robin. What happened? Sounds like a motor mount or a strut. Let's see. She hops out, humming, hiking up her sleeves, like she's looking forward to the challenge of resurrecting this old heap for the umpteenth time. Don't just sit there, Pep. Robin, give me a hand. I walk to the rear, expecting tritium to shoot out into our eyes, or at least seep out by our feet and kill us with lethal radiation. And don't worry about the NRB. It's safe. I told you it's safe. The whole thing would have to blow for any radiation to leak. Comforting. She rolls out her tool bundle and dives in. Yep. Nope. Bugger. Really? And finally, oh. It's the left motor mount, all right. Too rusted. Broke free from the engine block. I look around at the entire car, which seems to be held together with rust. The whole car is trying to break free. And we've got another problem. When the mount collapsed, it snapped two of the NRB cables. That's live power, so they've fused themselves to the engine block. Oh, anything else? Actually, yes. The NRBs sprung a leak. Radiation. I run to get Voom Voom. I'm kidding. Sorry, kidding. You're terrible. Yes, you keep reminding me. No, so it's just the two problems, the mount and the cables. For the motor mount, I assume you have a spare. She shakes her head. Then why don't you just make it yourself like everything else? She smacks her wrench on the engine block and stands up in my face. And I notice, for the first time, I'm taller than her. I'm not sure why this would strike me as significant. Being taller than my own mother. Maybe I assumed from her oversized personality that she'd tower over me, or that I'm the child, meant to be smaller. But some strange change was happening. I was getting taller now that I was free. In any case, she doesn't seem to notice or care. She's just angry. Just make it yourself, ha ha ha. Now you listen, Pepper, Robin. I know you're pissed at me. I can't blame you. But I'm trying to do something here for you. I know 48 hours doesn't make up for 21 years, but come on. Cut me the tiniest bit of slack. Work with me. She puts her hand out. I'm taken aback. I've been treating her with nothing but contempt and sarcasm, which was proving surprisingly unsatisfying. And through it all, this tormented woman with a blue tube sticking out into her nose is plugging along doing something risky, according to her conspiracy theories, to help me, the only daughter she'll likely ever see. And she's not asking for anything in return. Just a little slack. I shake her hand. Why are you shaking my hand? I was pointing to the trunk. Go get me the hand welder. She's scowling, but under the scowl, I distinctly make out a little smile. I scurry around to the front and pop the trunk. I'm not surprised by the absolute mess. It's like looking into the undigested contents of the car's stomach. Tools, circuit boards, housings, wires, an EMP pulse generator, a fake ID creating machine, chemicals, scanners, cardboard boxes, but no welder. Is it in one of these boxes? She yells back. Don't touch those boxes. That's none of your business. She rushes around to me. Damn, forgot these were in here. You just never mind them. She rummages around as if there was some mysterious organization to this clutter. Nope. Damn. I point to three green cylinders in a corner. Are those full? Spare conventional batteries. Yep. Why? Ooh, yes. Yes, just what I was thinking. I pull out the three batteries and some copper wiring and begin connecting them together with some old clamps. With three of these in series, and this rod, we should be able to get 300 amps output at least, enough to generate an arc, cut the steel, and create a weld. She nods and grins. I knew all that. Now tell me how we don't kill ourselves. Disconnect the NRB and put it and Voom Voom and all these chemicals somewhere far away. Insulate ourselves, remove the small rear windows, and use them as shields. Good. Smart. And we can use this extra jack head as a new mount. So we go to work. Our homemade arc welder makes quick work of the snapped power cables, throwing showers of sparks that threaten to burn holes through our primitive shields and blind us. But the mount is proving stubborn. It's spent its lifetime rusting into the rest of the chassis and doesn't want to surrender. Just can't get the right angle. I'll have to go underneath. Jack her up another 10 inches. I've seen a blob of molten steel melt a hole in a body shop worker's arm. Be careful. She scoffs. We cut the old mount free and weld the new one in place. It's actually just the right size, though we won't win any awards for beauty. And it'll probably last through this trip only. But this trip is the last one I'd have to make in this heap, and I say a silent prayer of thanks for that. One more weld point, and we're done. God damn it! A spark has found its way into Jane's ear, and she's writhing in pain. I immediately drag her out from beneath the car and disengage the welder. She's screaming, so I start screaming too. Voom Voom runs over, hysterical. Mommy! Mommy! And I don't know what comes over me. I shout, Ma! And catch myself. Immediately, her screaming stops. She cups her ear and groans. Did that thing just screw up my hearing? Or did you say Mom? No. I ignore her and pour a little water into her ear, then take a good look. It only seared a little hole in the cartilage. Nothing in the inner ear. She'll be okay. Good. She nurses her wound and watches me closely as I finish the welding job. I turn when I'm done and see, before she can wipe it away with a rag, a single tear sliding down her nose. Good job, kid. We're a good team. It seems like a nice thing to say, but I immediately regret my moment of weakness. Team, 10 more hours and I'm rid of you. Then I just have to figure out what to do with that one. Voom Voom lets out a little, hey. You're terrible. Get in the car. Let's see if this hatchet job of yours actually works. I walk back to the passenger seat, but Jane puts her hand on the latch and points me around to the driver's side. I was nodding off back there. And my ear is killing me. Your turn to drive. But I don't. Yes, you do. It's just like the lifts back home. They have a dashboard with buttons and auto drive. Right. Then I guess you'll have to learn. She shows me the floor levers, the accelerator and the brake, and the steering device, or wheel, as she calls it. Why the original designers placed levers at your feet instead of your fingers was beyond me, and it takes several minutes to coordinate. Feet are for walking, not driving. This is ridiculous. Vehicle? Auto drive. Destination? Groupie Studios, Los Angeles, California. Ha! Yeah, keep talking to it if that makes you feel better. Now, come on, time's a-wastin'. I peek down at the tablet. The groupie studio's countdown clock is at 12 hours. She's right. I better get driving. So, with a herk and a jerk, I pull us out onto the highway. Just as a big rig thunders by and nearly splatters us into tiny red spots on the pavement. Whoops. Voom Voom ducks under a blanket in the back. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Use your mirrors. Soon enough, I actually am driving. At first, it's as awkward as slow dancing with Nana. It's awful. But then, it's not. Here I am gliding across this great land, past farms and meadows, chasing puffy white clouds in an endless blue sky. I feel powerful. The lifts at home are fast, but this is very fast, and I'm in total control. It reminds me of those times, like with my rockets, where I felt like anything was possible, anything at all. I fixed this rusty old 2038 Honda car/rocket ship, and I am piloting it down the road, into whatever lies beyond, into the future. It feels wonderful. I turn and smile at Jane. She has her arm out the window, lazily lifting and dropping her hand, playing in the wind. Her ear has stopped bleeding, and she's smiling, too. "I like manual driving," she laughs. "I knew you would." As my mind relaxes and wanders, I wonder aloud, "By the way, what's in those boxes in the trunk?" Her face hardens. "Nothing,"